We're talking about Daniel. And what I want to deal with over the next two or three Wednesdays is the where is everybody in the Bible and what is it that they believe to be where they are. Now, we talked about Daniel, and the biggest thing you should have had out of Daniel, chapter 9, is there is a big old gap in the middle. And that gap keeps coming up, whether it's the 4 months, whether it's the 2,000 years. It just keeps coming up. Gap, gap, gap. Well, there is a mistake in most of Christendom as they are studying. The basic philosophy, and we don't get into teaching this very much. In fact, I've never heard it taught. I was the only one that has taught it, although I'm not the only one that believes it. You understand what I'm saying? I know that other people believe it based upon their conversation, but I never seen it diagrammed out, I guess, is what I should say. So I'm not trying to say that I'm preaching something original because I don't think there's anything original to preach. Y'all understand? But the thought is, and what the basic thought is this is the start of the body of Christ. Now, I believe the body of Christ started in Acts chapter 9 with the Apostle Paul. Okay? For the first part of this, of the people in the Bible, what they believed, and where they went, I just want to start with the body of Christ because that affects you. And there are basically a couple people in. Paul, I believe, is the very first one in the body. Now, I believe the 12 are the ones for the kingdom. Different message, but all that. I don't want to confuse you. And for the last basic 2,000 years, when people get saved, they're looking for the hope, and I'm going to call it the rapture. Even though I know that rapture is not in the Bible. It's the catching up. And so I don't want to make light of that, but a lot of people would know it by that term. And so I want to put it in there. And so everybody that is saved in Christ, I believe, is waiting for the blessed hope and the one hope of their calling. And I want to deal with that a little bit first. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. And I want to start in verse 17, Ephesians 1, verse 17. The Bible says this, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the
what
spirit
does he want?
The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his what? There's a hope for the church. It's called the hope of his calling. And that one hope, that one single day. All right, verse 18, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. And that's really what we're talking about in the catching out. I believe there's one basic event that happens to them all. I believe it is called the catching up. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and what? All right, so here's the Lord Jesus Christ coming down. This is in the clouds. I'm putting clouds up. And you might say, boy, those are really good clouds. That's the kind of clouds I'm going to draw on his painting. And the dead in Christ shall what? So they get up, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. That's the catching out. That's everyone that has been saved. Well, what do I mean by being saved? Well, I want to read one more verse about the hope before I do that. Go to Galatians chapter 1, and I want to read in verse 4, who gave himself for our sins, that's part of the gospel, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Or is this world our home?
No.
No. We are literally just passing through. This is just a staging point to the hope that you've got. The hope that you have is a catching out. It is the what we call the rapture. And the realization is that this is going to happen at a period of time. What do I believe is necessary for the rapture to happen? Well, the time, it has to deal with time, but we can't know that about the time. What do we know about? Well, that's part of the times again. I believe the body has to be complete. It's got to be filled up. I believe there's no necessary need once the body is filled up to keep going. Now, that's not a determination, but there's somebody that if they would trust the Lord, perhaps, we might go up. Yes, that is. It's for Israel. See, and that's the problem that people, and that's why this chart that we're doing will dispel any misrumors. But see, my oldest son thought that we taught, and I never believed this, so I don't even know where he got it from, but he thought that I taught that everyone that is saved goes up, then what would happen to everyone else? They would go to hell. And that's not true. Why? There are 7 years, 3.5 over here, and 3.5 over here, and there's 1,000 years over here. There's a lot of things happening after the catching up. Well, that's the point of this whole message. That's the whole point. I do not believe, personally, you may want Terry to preach on this one day, that people are constantly going to heaven. I don't believe that. I believe they are asleep in the Lord. Go back to 1 Thessalonians for just a minute. All right, go to 1 Thessalonians 4. I believe, and I believe in the catching out. I believe that it's a one-day event, and I think it's yet in the future. Well, one moment. You know, I'm saying one part in a day. You know, it's a day event. It'll happen in one single day somewhere in the future. Right. Well, see, I believe there's a lot of people that believe when their loved ones die that they go up to heaven. And there's been many country songs about the tears falling down from heaven. There's Grandma up there, and rain is just Grandma crying upon us. And that's all good preaching, but it just probably isn't true. And the argument comes about is to be absent from the body, to be present from the Lord. And I'll deal with that issue just a little bit and show you what I believe is there. And then maybe if Terry's bold enough, he'll stand up and dispute. I don't know. All I can tell you is what I read. Now, he says, verse 13, he says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. There's somebody that has heard the gospel, received it, but they didn't make it to the rapture. Who would that definitely include? Paul. Paul's one of them. It would definitely include Paul. Okay? I believe Paul is asleep in the Lord. Where? In the Lord. Well, you say, isn't the Lord in heaven? Yeah, he's also on the earth. He's in Saturn. He's around the... Folks, he's omnipresent. It isn't like you have to go somewhere to be in the Lord. You just have to get out of the robe to be in the present. You see what I'm saying? The thing that's stopping you from the Lord is your flesh. You can't get in. Yeah, but there's a veil between us called the flesh. Y'all understand? There is a, you can't run through this thing, but once you get rid of this flesh, you'll run right through this pulpit and run right through the glass and it won't affect you, just like Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ raised from the dead, he didn't walk out of the tomb and the roll. Hey, he had come up through the bricks, the rocks. Y'all understand? The thing that separates you from the spiritual world is the robe. How do you get rid of it? You got to get rid of the robe. I believe that these people are asleep in the Lord. And they're waiting for a shout to wake them up. That's what I believe. And I believe it's coming in the future. Not far. I believe that by all that we saw in Daniel, that I believe it's soon. I believe you ought to be counting. He says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with them back to heaven. And that this will, and for this we will say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them. You're not going to stop them from going. Y'all understand? If they were already there, why would he make that statement? See, that doesn't make any sense. How could you prevent somebody from going if they've already gone? Hello? You got it? So I believe they're asleep. Where are they asleep? I don't know. Somewhere around the planet in Christ. I have no idea. It doesn't really matter to me. Well, what do I know? Is that there has been a circumcision of the ones that are saved. God is a triunion being. Guess what man is? And God came in and he cut away the flesh with the circumcision made without hand and putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh. Therefore, that robe is not there anymore. Now, then we read the part just a minute ago about the rapture. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. So, we're talking about things that people don't like to talk about, makes them sometimes uncomfortable. If it makes you more comfortable thinking your loved one's in heaven, think all you want. You understand? You know, one of your relatives that are saved. I know, that's terrible. In 1 Corinthians 15, read with me in verse 50. Now this I say brethren, that the flesh and blood, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Everybody say that with me. That flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Can you get there with your flesh and blood? So you've got to put off the robe called flesh. Well, what happens when you do that? You die. You can't get out of it without death or the catching out. The new birth has to do with the best example of the new birth is that caterpillar coming in and then being birthed out. The caterpillar doesn't look anything like that butterfly, and it comes out a new creature. Well, folks, we're new creatures in Christ. And that's going to happen to us. Now watch this. The flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. What's the mystery? Say it. We shall not all sleep. So, listen. If they were already in heaven, why would you worry about whether you sleep or alive? The whole emphasis, if you listen to this, is about a moment in time when something is going to happen. Watch what he says. But we shall all be changing. He says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. Well, if they're already raised, why would it need to be raised? And why would that happen after the last trump if they're already there before the trump gets there? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised. Well, if they were raised, wouldn't it say that the dead were already raised? Would they use the term shall be? That you could have said, the dead has been raised incorruptible. That would have worked. But it didn't say that. You need to underline, the dead shall be raised. If they're already raised, then that statement is mute. Harry, I would underline that. You understand? You can't be shall be saved if you are saved. See, I am saved. I'm not waiting to be saved. I are saved. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians 15, that you are saved. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. How that what? Christ died for our sins. How many sins did he die for? All of them. And that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Guys, listen to me. That word shall be is in the same context. You can't say are saved and shall be in the same thing. They are not raised. So the argument comes from people in 2 Corinthians 5. Go to 2 Corinthians 5 and here's the argument. I'm telling you there's an event that's yet to happen before the last week of Daniel can get started. Y'all understand? That we just expanded the chart. Now, this was a little piece down there. This is the end of the dispensation of grace. And after the dispensation of grace, there's a dispensation of wrath. Or you can say the dispensation of the 70th week of Daniel. You can call it whatever you like. It doesn't say that in the Bible, but that's what it is. This is the last week. This is the last, I'm going to write last, week of Daniel. But there it is. And it fits to everything we've done. Now, I've got a friend down in Florida, and he's trying to make it the 68th and the 69th and the 70th week. None of that works with the feast days. None of it works with the 2,000 days. None of it fits. But this fits. And so people have believed all along, I do not believe they've gone up. I believe they're asleep in the Lord, waiting for that day when the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, go to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, I would put 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51 right there in my Bible if I was you. Why? Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You have to dissolve the tabernacle or it has to be changed. Why? Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Everybody. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. It's impossible. All right? So it says, if we know that our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Well, then, when you put off this body of the flesh, what's going to happen to that body of the flesh? Who said go back to dust? That's exactly right. Kaylee, the little baby that they found, the body was already starting to decompose. And if they left it there long enough, guess what? It would have just disappeared into the ground. A cadaver dog would have known someone was still there because of the scent. But you wouldn't have been seeing it with your human eye. It would have just dissolved over time. Okay? The physical body is going, why? You've been cut away from that physical body. What you lay in the grave when they're in the box is nothing more than a piece of meat that is going to rot. Never intended to go to heaven, wasn't designed to be in heaven. It was designed to walk around on planet Earth. That's all it was ever. The person who's saved then falls asleep immediately upon that happening. And the comfort of 2 Corinthians 5 and the comfort of 1 Thessalonians 4 is that there's hope. Don't worry about it. You're not going to prevent them with your sleep coming on. The catching out. Verse 2. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so being clothed, we shall not be found what? We don't want to put off the robe. We just want to put on the new house. But how many here want to go? Say amen if you want to go. Hey, listen, I'm ready to go. Today would be okay with me?
Yes.
You know? Well, wouldn't you want to be around here for New Year's? Nope. You're going to miss Christmas. Whoop-dee-doo. I mean, come on. I do honestly groan. I want it to happen. When I say some of these statements, you got to take it with a grain of salt. This was about 30 years ago. No, it wasn't. Yeah, I was going to say, just the other day, I was in the grocery line. Brenda was with me. My kids were at home, so you know, it was, you know, a few years back. I'm an old man now, but I was in that line. Boy, I said, I wish the rapture happened. You know what that lady said? Oh, I hope not. I've got lots of things I'd like to do. Huh? Really? Oh, yeah, I've got big plans. Oh, I hope he doesn't come quick. I'm like, there's a person that hadn't lived in a rough enough life yet. Man, if the rapture came right now, I would be the happiest fellow in this room. Pressure's on.
I don't know about that.
You know what would be weird? It'd be weird to see his toes again. You know, his spiritual toes in that new house. He'd probably walk around going like this all the time, wiggling his foot. We'd be whole. We'd be right. We'd be holy and righteous. We'd be a different person.
And I might even be skinny.
Brother, that would... You know, I was thinking about the rapture one time, and Steve Atwood actually mentioned it from the pulpit. I thought it was funny. He thought about it. You know, being a big guy, I wondered if I was going to be the fastest one or the medium one going up, you know, or the slow one, you know. One skinny guy goes, shoom, and I'm like floating by, you know. I know, I was just joking. Don't be too technical. You're no fun. Well, I think that's worth a dollar bet. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, the point is nobody's going to make it before anyone else. It's an event that happens in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. Verse 4. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan. Do we?
Yep.
Yes. Being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now he that hath wrought us, the selfsame thing is God, which also hath given us the earnest of the Spirit. So we know that we're His. We've got the Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Romans chapter 8, you may want to put that there. Therefore we are always confident. Why? Why are we confident? We have the Spirit. We have the earnest of the Spirit of Romans chapter 8. I mean, you know, you've got the Spirit inside. You're not going to go, boy, I wonder if He's going to leave me behind. Whether by death or by catching out, it doesn't matter to me. Why? Hey, the Spirit says He ain't going to leave me behind. Why? I know that there's a catching up. Y'all with me? So my hope isn't that I have to be in heaven immediately. My hope is that, you know what, God's not a man that He should lie. Hath He said, and will He not also perform the doing of it? He is going to take me up. Now, therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Colon. See the colon? For we walk by faith, not by sight. We don't have to see the Lord, do we? I mean, the whole idea of being absent from the Lord, but we walk by faith. So even though we're absent, the emphasis of that verse is not on being absent from the body in that sense, but walking by faith. That's the emphasis of the verse. That's why God put the colon there. Not by sight. We do not have to see the Lord. We got His Word. We believe His Word. The Word is what transforms us. People say, while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. But the only way to be with the Lord, no, we are with the Lord by, we're absent from the Lord, but we don't need that. Why? We walk by faith. It's faith. It's an issue of faith. Verse 8, for we are confident, as I say, willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. We're not worried whether we die or live. We're Christ. And everybody that is saved is going to go up in the rapture. You got it? Whether you're dead or whether you're alive. It doesn't matter. There's one event. How many hopes of your calling? One hope of your calling. One faith, one Lord, one baptism. Well, you know, one hope. That's the hope. That is it right there. Everybody with me? So then you've got people that rejected. They didn't make it to the rapture. They died. What happens to them? They have died and they will be in hell. Now down below the earth, there is a spiritual world that our problem is that we live in a very dimensional world. We don't see outside those dimensions very well. If we could rip back all the physical and see the spiritual activity, it'd probably flip us out. There's a whole nother world that's happening while you're here. Now people claim to see the dead. Well, they didn't see anybody in the body of Christ. Why?
They're asleep.
Now, could they see demons?
Amen.
It's possible. I mean, come on, there's some spirits. They thought when they saw Jesus walk through that wall, they said, hey, he's a spirit. There's something spiritual there that they may see. Why do I not believe that anybody that is saved is being seen by anybody? They're asleep in Christ. How much activity do you have when you're asleep?
None.
Zero. They're not walking around. They're asleep. And they'll be awoken by this event. The shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of God. But neither are the people that were rejectors. They heard the gospel, but they reject it. They're not walking around either. They're in a prison called what? They're in hell. Y'all understand? They're not walking around either. They're in a prison right now, but is that the end of their judgment?
No. Great white foam.
Death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire.
So you don't go to heaven right away, but you do go to hell.
Yes, you're in prison. Hey, where are these people? In the Lord. They're just asleep. These people are not asleep here. They're in torment immediately. Y'all understand? These are people, though, that have heard the gospel and rejected. Go, if you will, to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. What happens when you give up, you've heard the gospel, and you reject? I believe you go into hell. I'm going to use this verse, although this verse is going to be more comely to these people right here. You understand? They've heard and they've rejected, but they live into the tribulation. That's really these people. But I want to just grab one word out of here. Chapter 2, verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteous in them that everybody that perish, that's hell. Why did they perish? Because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Then they had to be offered it, right? But they didn't receive it. So now we've got two groups. We got those that live or die that are saved in Christ. That's one group, right? We have now a group that have heard. We know that these heard, right? Why do we know that they heard? They rejected. They can't go into heaven. Why? They receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And they go into where? Hell. You with me? Then there are some that could hear, they heard, but they rejected, but they live into the tribulation. What's going to happen to them? Well, watch here again. Verse 10 again. And with all deceivableness of unrighteous in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, what cause? They receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. For this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie, and here's the next verse, that they all might be damned. You hear that? Damned. They're going to hell because they rejected the gospel. Are they going to hell because of their sins?
No.
Their sins were paid for at Calvary, just like your sins were paid for at Calvary. It doesn't matter how bad you were. Doesn't matter if you're an adulterer. Doesn't matter if you're a whoremonger. Doesn't matter if you're drunk. Doesn't matter if you're a drug addict. It doesn't matter. Hey, I got... Do you realize that homosexuality has been paid for at the cross?
Amen.
Sin is not the issue with the person today. It's whether they receive the gospel. God is going to send them a strong delusion, not because they sinned, but because they rejected the truth.
Amen.
So these people that have heard, but they rejected, they're going to go in and get a strong what?
Delusion.
And God's going to send them to where? Hell. So both of these groups goes to hell. But now we got another group we've got to throw in there. Well, let me not do this group first. Hang on. There are people, I promise you, that's in the world that has never heard. They've never heard the gospel. So where do they go?
They can't go to hell.
And they can't go to in the rapture. There is a place called death. They go into a place called death. It's different than hell, but they can't go to hell. Why? Why could not God send them to hell? Jeff, why? They haven't heard and they haven't rejected. What sends a person to hell? They heard and they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. That sends them to hell. So God would be unjust if, in fact, He had somebody who had never heard the gospel and sent them right into hell. That would be a ripoff. Y'all understand? That's a big deal. You know what? People haven't really thought about it. I believe they're in death. And the Bible says death and hell are resurrected at the great white throne judgment. I believe there's some people in that death who will not end up dying. Their old names will be found in the book of life. They'll give them a chance and they'll receive it. The point that I'm making is that has to happen before the rapture. But then there are those other group that have not heard. Then there are those people, and this one really should be shorter than that because it's going to have to happen in the end time. They have to be basically alive now. What happens if someone hasn't heard, but they go into the tribulation period? What happens? They have not heard the gospel, because if they'd heard the gospel, they would have received it and gone up, or they would have rejected it and gone down. They will have a chance. What will they have to do? They have to bless Israel. And thus you've got the sheep and the goats. Now, I'm going to deal in that issue. I don't have enough time probably to deal with that. But I want to deal with those that have not heard that can't die, that can't go to hell. I want to deal with them right now. See, and the reason this is so very important, it shows that there is dispensational theology. How do I know? Well, if everything happened and the decision was made at the rapture, everybody saved went up, everybody else went to hell, why would there be any room for anything else? And if the gospel back here would save them, why would they use the same gospel? And in that series, Left Behind, how many heard of that series, Left Behind series? It's a great read. How many read it? I read it. That was a fun read. I mean, it's a fictional book. But they said the gospel back here that these people rejected could be accepted over here. Well, that's not true, because God said He's going to send them a strong delusion that they'll believe a lie. It is impossible to believe the gospel here. Because had you believed the gospel here, you'd have gone up in the rapture. And there isn't any more rapture to take anybody anywhere.
And there's not even more saved by grace there.
And there is nobody saved by grace in here. You're done. This is the end. Thus, dispensational theology. Thus, you know you have to rightly divide the word. What part of the Bible am I talking to? What gospel did they believe? What is it that they heard that they might receive? And that's the point of these next couple weeks that I'll teach on Wednesdays. Why? So that you can see what it is that people believed and why they believed it. All right. Now, the dead. Go to Revelation. I bet you guys are glad you showed up tonight. You don't get this at most churches.
Kevin, you had a question.
Yeah, I did.
Oh.
What about the people who are now fulfilling the dispensation or listening but haven't rejected but really haven't trusted either?
If they haven't received, they're rejecting. The switch of their rejection would be the acceptance.
Well,
What if it's still like an open mind?
Well, as long as the rapture haven't happened, will God give them an opportunity? Yes. But when the rapture comes, and the second after the rapture comes, and they decide, okay, I'm going to receive it, it's too late. It's a done deal. Stan said, they'll probably not even know that there's a rapture. I don't know that, you know, a lot of this stuff preaches well, but I can't necessarily prove it. But there are some hints that might be, because he said there's wolves in sheep clothing. What happens if demons entered our bodies and walked around and just kept preaching the grace message? Over here, that would be what? Damnable. It would be a strong delusion, wouldn't it?
Yeah. 2,000 years to learn it.
You know? I mean, it could be... No, that's right. Wherefore comfort under one another with these words. Exactly. Now, go to Revelation chapter 20. This stuff is so good, guys. All right, Revelation 20, verse 11. I saw a great white throne and him that sat upon it, from whose face earth and heaven fled away, and there were found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open. I believe that is the 66 books of a King James Bible. And another book was open. I believe that's the book of life, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their what?
Works.
I believe that these people who have not heard are in what? And they're going to be right at the end of this 1,000 years, the great white throne judgment. And he's going to bring death, and he's going to judge them based upon their what? That's what the Bible says. They can't be judged on the gospel. Why? They haven't heard it. God, listen, God is just. Everybody say that.
God is just.
God isn't going to hold you accountable to something you haven't ever heard. He would be a rip-off artist. And God's not a rip-off artist. God is just. It's the attribute. He can't go against himself. Yes.
This goes back to what you and I used to believe, that we're going to be judged at the end for what are good and are bad.
Well, that's partly where they get some of this stuff. That's exactly right. And you will be unless you hear the gospel. You all understand? That is hard to believe, that they're going to live 1,000 years with the Lord and then turn on them. Yep, yeah. Carl?
Maybe we're going to realize it's not Satan, so.
Yeah. Watch this. Now watch this. Verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. That sea is filled with the angels and whatever. And then death and hell, which are down here, death and hell. We got death and hell, two different. Yes, from the original fall, that's true. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, and that's the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. Well, what happens if they were found? And there would be no reason to put that in if they were all going to be cast in the lake of fire. Hello? There'd be no reason. You'd just say, and the rest were cast into the lake of fire. Why even put that they weren't written in the book? Well, then that tells me that somebody might be written in that book. So, a review up to this point, okay? We've got those that are saved in Christ. What are their two conditions possible? Asleep and alive. That's it. There are those that heard and rejected before the rapture comes. What happens? They go into hell. Is hell the last? No, then hell is going to be what? Resurrected and then cast into the what? Okay, so far so good. And when you start to put these people, by the way, in the right category, let me ask you a question. How many here are visually seeing things they haven't seen before? When you visually see this, then you can say, okay, well, these Gentiles over here that didn't hear and they become sheep and goats, they must hear something to make them a sheep or reject something but become a goat. But it couldn't be the gospel, because that division would have happened right here. Right? Those that heard, died, the rejectors, they end up in hell. But what happens if they're living right now and they heard, like you were talking, and they heard the gospel, and they may have been pondering it, but they didn't trust the Lord. They thought about it. I mean, guys, listen, I believe that one time that God was going to put my good on one side and my bad on the other and weigh it out. How many thought that at one time? And so I heard the gospel, but let's say I didn't believe it because I thought, well, God's going to put my good on one side and bad on the other. Believing that is like rejecting the gospel. Because the moment the rapture happens, you're into the tribulation period. Whether you like it or not. And the reason for that, all that time in Daniel, 70 weeks, Daniel chapter 9, if the rapture happens and they decide, okay, I'm going to believe it right here, guess what?
Too late.
They'll already have delusion at that point.
Well, their delusion may be, I'm believing it and now I'm going to be saved. Right. And you know what's really fearful is the book series, Left Behind, made it sound like they could get saved. I mean, that's what the whole book was about. Chloe and her dad, I mean, they get some videotapes that was left in the church and end up seeing that and believing it. But you know, that alone would be enough delusion to confuse people. Right. Why? God said he's going to send them a strong delusion. How about, I finally get this grace thing. I get this rightly divided. That makes sense to me. But it's too late. I mean, if you think about this category a lot, let me tell you, it'll start to come clear. Now, there are those that have not heard that do go in, and they become sheep and goats. We're going to deal with that next week, doing that. I'm going to open up in the last 3 or 4 minutes for questions about what we talked about, basically, from here up. Yes?
We're already, those of us that are saved are already seated at the right hand of God.
Absolutely. Ephesians chapter 2.
And I think that's the way God sees us, because he sees time differently from what we see it. And when I think about being absent from body and present with the Lord, I think of the way God sees it. It's instantaneous. He can see it happening. He sees it now.
Amen. I believe that's exactly right.
And I think we brought up before that time and space changes when we die. We're not in that dimension anymore.
That's right. We see time as linear as I'm drawing it. We see time as it's ticking along a timeline. God sees time like this. It's a cone. He's looking from the top like what he's saying, and he sees this life over here, this life. He can see it for all the centuries at one single time. God doesn't see linear time. To God, time is not doing this. It's not doing that at all. There's no reason for seconds to tick. There's no reason. God's not dealing in time. God's timeless. We're stuck in time, and we're fighting the clock. You can see by our faces and our hair colors and if we have any hair left. Amen? I don't know whether mine wants to turn gray or turn loose. It looks like it's doing it. They're racing and they're winning at the same time. I remember when Terry used to have long hair and it was dark. Now he's got all his gray hair and he's wearing glasses. I'm like, I didn't know you, Kevin, when you were that young. What?
Well, then it's like, you know, we're talking about we're being asleep. It's like,
that's another good point. The people that have gone to sleep in Christ, it isn't like they're sitting there going, and going, it will be as if they went to sleep, and the next thing, they're in heaven.
That's what the verse says, is to thee.
Yes.
It's, you know, to be present with the Lord.
Absolutely.
Is to be present with the Lord.
It will be as if time never even... For Paul, you will see Paul in the same rapture you're going in. Is that cool or what? Yes.
What will the church be doing after the rapture? The
church won't be here.
No, but he's asking a good question. That's a good question. The church has an activity. It is to do whatever the Lord wants us to do. I believe there are some activities that I'll show you, but not during this series. Because it may confuse them. I don't want to confuse them.
Right.
Yes?
Okay, well, where do they get this idea that God won't come until every ear is heard?
That's in the scripture. It says, it talks about the ears of hearing. But you see, the problem is, he's not talking about every human being.
Right.
He's talking about every kind. Black, white, yellow, green, Hispanic, every creature, every nationality, but yet there, even in America, I bet there are people in America that have never heard the gospel. I mean, I've met some people in Louisiana. I don't even know if they know what sunlight is. You know, I mean, they were so far in the woods it was unbelievable. I mean, come on, guys, it could happen here in America. It's not beyond comprehension to understand that. So, you know, that. You know, I'll deal with that issue again. We're going to be out of time, but that is a very important issue because he's not saying that it's given to every creature. If it was, then there would be no more need. Listen to me. There would be no more need for the 7 years of tribulation or the 1,000-year millennial reign. We could end all judgment right there. Y'all understand? So do we know for a fact that it didn't stop? By the way, who else hasn't heard over here? There'd be some Jews there too. These are Gentiles. There'd be some Jews that had never heard. Why? They're going to be gathered into their land. There's a whole bunch of activity that we're going to talk about between these goats and sheep and the Jews.
If there was no Jews who heard it, well, they'd all be in hell if they'd heard it.
And rejected it, absolutely. So that's how you know for a fact that that can't be possible.
And you've got procreation after the rapture, too.
Oh, well, that's right. And that's what we'll probably deal with most next week, Christmas Eve, is deal on this issue. Because let me tell you, when you finally start getting it put together, the whole point of rightly dividing is know your hope. And once you've got that figured out, Moya, how many here know their hope and feel so secured in it? You know? But there are people wondering, how many people when Y2K thought they might be going through the tribulation period? I heard hundreds of them. That tells me they're not secured in their hope. Y'all understand? It's because they don't understand rightly dividing. What we're going to do is deal with this issue here, and then we're going to shrink our chart down to 7 years and that point right there.